as we have of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near.
Father, we just want to thank you that as the day draws near, you will not leave us nor forsake us. Lord, that if we will take time to pause and to cling to you, we will find, Lord, your joy in this life as we prepare for the next. So help us, Father, to not grow weary in doing good. And help us, Father, to stay the course. Help us, Lord, to always be willing to learn. And Father, if there's a new thought here today, or maybe something that somebody hasn't thought before, I just pray, Father, that you would help them to find you. Even, Lord, if we know you, we still learn from you. We'll never stop. Help us, Father, to know you intimately. And help us, Father, to cherish each and every moment that we have. Father, for Children's Church, pray, Lord, that you be with them as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Chapter 9 is one of the most compelling accounts of the power that dwelt in the life of Jesus Christ. John chapter 9 is a go-to passage for people who are down and people who want to read the account of someone who was taken from nothing and brought into a wonderful place in life. Before we begin to read, I want to ask you just a simple question presented rhetorically. I want to ask you, do you believe? A few months ago, I posted a news clip on Facebook of some Christians that were in another country that had been murdered because of their faith. A friend of mine commented on Facebook, "If this is true, why haven't any of the major media outlets reported it?" I read that, and I responded by just simply posting a link to Fox News and saying, "Here it is on major media." He responded, "I don't consider Fox major media." Now, this left me wondering, where would this guy get his news? ABC, CBS, NBC? And if that's the case, is one of those three better than another one? And if one's better, why would you pick one above another? What would be your motivation? Now, I've got to tell you the truth. I don't care one bit about Fox News or any rest of them. I think they're all biased. I think that bias is a default flaw in the nature of humanity. But what makes us consider something, anything, an a credible source for information? Now, what if it's in the Bible? Would that be a credible source? If it's in the Bible, is it true? If it's in the Bible, did it happen? I mean, did it really happen? And if it really happened, how does that affect us? If we believe in the crucifixion and in the resurrection, do we also believe in creation and in the second coming? If we decide to pick and choose what we're going to believe and what we're not going to believe, what is the basis for our picks and choices? I believe this is the very thing that the Pharisees wrestled with in the New Testament. They caused Jesus a lot of problems because they were kind of picking and choosing what they were going to believe and what they weren't going to believe. They said, "Well, this passage is here, so we're going to believe it." And somebody said, "Well, what about this passage?" Usually that somebody was Jesus. He said, "What about this passage?" "Well, we're going to believe this one. This one's more important to us." I'm afraid that we do that a lot. The Pharisees were picking and choosing what God can do and what they believe he won't do. Because of this, they missed the very presence of the Son of God right in front of them. Now, we don't want to be like them. We want to be the people who recognize Christ when he's with us, when he's moving, when he's acting. So, what are you going to base your beliefs to say, I believe in the scripture. And some people will say things like, you don't really believe God created the earth in 6 days, just 6,000 years ago. And I say, I don't know, it's the best solution I've found. And people are like, they don't understand how stupid you are. But you can always see it when the eyes roll. And with the... There's four things, four biblical principles that I want you to learn from John chapter 9. Well, there's a scattering there. The four principles are our problems are present to show God's power. Do you believe that? Number two, public opinion should not affect your testimony. Number three, it's never wrong to do good. And number four, there's nothing wrong with being certain. Number one, our problems are present to show God's power. Verse John chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Just pause there for a moment. Because you know what? If I could reach into the world and remove a bad doctrine out of the minds of good believers, this would be one of the things I would want to know. I have no idea in my years as a pastor how many times, in some way or another, someone has asked me or told me that since things were not comfortable for them, or comfortable for their loved one, something is wrong or someone has done something wrong. You know, this reminds me of a line by comedian Emo Phillips, who said, all prayers are basically a request. This is how he saw all prayers. Dear Lord, please break the laws of the physical universe for my convenience. Amen. Have you ever been guilty of praying that prayer? Yeah. Not exactly like that, but please break the laws of the physical universe for my convenience. Lord, with that picnic, please don't let it rain. You know what? God is God in the good times and the bad. He does not like or orchestrate the bad times. But when bad times come, our faith in God and His working within our faith can be the flame of hope that cannot be extinguished by the winds of doubt. So let your light shine in the good times and the bad times. Hard times are not the evidence of the absence of God. That's another thing I'd like to pull out of the minds of people. They think that, well, things are hard, so the Lord's not working in my life. It's the devil. Well, it may be the devil, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord is still right there on the edge of his seat, wanting to work in our lives. Amen. Wanting things to work out for his benefit, for his glory, and our benefit. God's presence and purpose can be found in absolutely everything if we are willing to let Him shine through. The disciples wanted to know, Lord, who caused this guy to be blind? Was it something that he did? Bear in mind, he's been blind from birth. So was it something that he did? Did he like spit in his mother's womb or something? I don't know what they could have been thinking there. But, so if it wasn't him, it must have been his parents, right? Maybe his second cousin on his mother's side. Somebody did something to cause this guy to be blind. Jesus answered him in verse 3. It is not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him.
Verse 4.
We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Quick question. I want you to answer. Is Jesus still in the world today? Yes. So, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he is still shining because he's still here living in our hearts, living in our minds. So the light that shines from Christ now shines from us. Now the disciples asked, why is this man blind? And the answer is, we don't know why he's blind. But what we do know is that sin was not the driving force behind his blindness. The works of God were. It doesn't mean that God made him blind. It means that God was ready to bring a healing to him. Several years ago, after a tragic event, a young girl asked me why her mom had to die. She said, people are telling me that God just needed another angel up in heaven. But doesn't God know that I needed my mom here? Anybody want to step up and answer that question? I answer, the reason your mom died is because her body sustained injuries so severe that her body could no longer live here on earth. I went on to describe how she stepped out of her body and into the presence of God, just like when a person gets out of an automobile, they open the door, they step out, they close the door, and they leave the car behind. They don't stay behind, they go on. It's the same when a believer steps out of their body. They simply leave the body behind and they step into the presence of God. So that's what I went on to explain to her. But I've got to tell you, to tell a 10-year-old girl that the reason that your mom died is because her body sustained injuries that were so severe that she could no longer live on earth. There's not much comfort in that. There's not a whole lot of reason in that. There's not a whole lot of purpose behind that. But what is in that is truth. And where we find truth, we find Christ. And where we find Christ, we find healing. Psalm 27:5 says, for he will hide me in the shelter, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high. Do you believe it? Isaiah 26:3-4, speaking to God. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Do you believe it? Psalm 46:1-3. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. No matter how bad it gets, God is our refuge and our strength. Very present help in trouble. Do you believe it? Psalm 86:7. In the day of trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. Do you believe it? See, problems are present in our lives, so that God can be manifested in our lives. When we come to terms with the fact that trouble isn't here to destroy us, Trouble is here to magnify God and benefit us. That's why you have bad times. That's why your health gives way. That's why age takes its toll. That's why your loved ones struggle with drug addiction and with pains and all the conflicts and problems that are in this world. That's why they're there. Is so that we have something to move away from as we hold the hand of God. Number two, public opinion should not affect your testimony. John chapter 9, verse 8 through 12. The neighbors, those who had seen him, that's the blind man, before as a beggar, were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Verse 9. Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" You gotta love this. He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.'" Siloam's a pool. "Go to Siloam, the pool of Siloam, and wash." So I went and I washed and received my sight. They said, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." Encountering Jesus, you know what? Encountering Jesus Christ changes people. It changes a person. It changed me. It's changed so many of you. The person in this passage was changed from a beggar to a man. Some saw it and some didn't. But regardless of their opinion, the man held his position. His position was, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' or 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and received my sight." Now, to put that in so that I understand it, his friends asked him, "How did you get your sight?" He's like, "This guy named Jesus picked up a handful of dirt, he spit on it, he made mud, he slapped it in my eye, he told me to go wash my filthy face in the baptistry, and I washed my eyes, and poof, I could see." I can't explain it beyond that. This guy's a believer. Do you have a testimony in Jesus Christ in your life? Do you stick to it? Do you tell it? Do you repeat it? Do you explain it? Do you promote it? Some people have lost their testimony because they've kept quiet about it. Like it's something to be ashamed of. Like, man, nobody will believe me anyways. People just make fun of me if I tell them, you know, I prayed and I felt brand new inside. I want something more. I want, like, you know, do you remember when Mount St. Helens erupted? Just before that, I asked Jesus Christ into my life, and that top blew off the mountain, and we heard the explosion. Now, that's a testimony you can believe. But no, nobody wants to say, you know, I just kind of came to terms with the fact that I was sinful, and I just asked God to forgive me. And because of that sense of forgiveness, it changed how I felt inside. It changed how I felt about me. It changed how I felt about others. And I'm like, "Did it transform your life?" It's like, well, not instantly. Because immediately I went and told someone and they said, "Probably not you." And I thought, well, it couldn't be me. So it became a process instead of an instantaneous event. But it's still my testimony. I want to tell you, after deciding to devote my life to the ministry of Jesus Christ, I told the man, the things that God had done that prompted me to make the decision to serve the ministry. He demeaned me by saying, the mind is a powerful thing. 30 years later, that same man shared with me how he came to faith in Jesus Christ. I was, of course, pleased. But there was still a part of me that was like, today, as I think back on that guy and that statement, the mind is a powerful thing, I just think, bada bing, bada boom. You make fun of God, he makes fun of you. That's how it works. You think you're bigger than him, better than him, guess what? You're not. Psalm 118:22 says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. People's opinions should not affect your testimony. Your testimony is what happened to you, and that's that. Don't let people rob you of that. Stand for it. Believe in it. Trust in it. It's an event. It's your event. You say, well, you know what happened when I was such a little kid? I can't. That's your testimony. Stand on it. Believe in it. Trust in it. Tell them about the times you prayed prayers and those prayers have been answered. That's your story. Hold to it. The third thing is that I want you to learn from this passage is that it's never wrong to do good. This is from John chapter 9, verses 13 through 17. And they brought the man before the Pharisees. And it would have been the Sabbath day when Jesus opened his eyes with the mud. Verse 15. So the Pharisees asked again, how did you receive your sight? And the guy said, he put mud on my eyes and washed them and I see. And that's about it. Verse 16. And some of the Pharisees said, this man is not God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath. And others said, well, he's got to be God because he's doing these miracles. And so there was all this infighting. So they asked the guy, who, the blind man, they said, well, what do you say? And he said, I say he's a prophet. Jesus is teaching us here what it says in Matthew 12, 11 through 14. Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then in Matthew 12, 11, he tells the man there to stretch out his hand and he heals the man's hand. Verse 14 says, but the Pharisees went out and conspired against him. How to destroy him. You know, it is never the wrong thing. It's never the wrong time to do the right thing. We must never let our religion get in the way of God's work. When in doubt, do no harm. That doesn't mean you're always supposed to be in doubt. There's times when we're supposed to have great confidence. There is a right and there is a wrong in this world. And there are choices that have to be made. To each his own is not always the right answer. Both good and evil exist, and evil is not okay. It's kind of what society has done to us, is they want us to say, well, what's good for me is good for me, and well, other things, though it might seem bad, if it's good for you, it's good for you. study your Bible, read your Bible. There's right, there's wrong. There's good, there's evil. They are forces that work against each other. Whenever we as a church sit back and say, well, if it's okay with you, then I guess it's okay, we are taking two giant steps backwards. We're giving in. They're winning. Because they're pushing us away. They're saying, the Word of God has no effect. Well, maybe not to you. The Word of God is true. It divides thoughts from the actions. It makes us confident in what we believe. Beware of accepting those little phrases like, to each his own. Matthew 6:16, Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. Galatians 5:7-9 says, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. Be careful the things that you accept, the things that you believe. It's never wrong to do good, but make sure that you know the difference between good and evil. And don't do evil. Number four, the fourth principle from this passage is there's nothing wrong with being certain. John 9:18. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. Skip to verse 24. So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered him, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. The parents knew their son. They did not know how he gained his sight. The son didn't know how he gained his sight, but he knew who gave him his sight. And if we read on, we find that the son eventually is kicked out of the synagogue. But the man never wavers on what he said about what happened. He tells the story over and over again. There's this guy named Jesus. He took some mud. He put it on my eye. I washed it off and I could see it. Over and over he told the story. And people are like, well, that can't be true. He's like, well, maybe it can't be true, but it is what happened. Now I ask you, do you believe it happened? When you open your Bible and read John chapter 9, do you think that there was a real guy who was blind, or do you think this is just some story that was inserted in the Bible? Do you think maybe it's just an allegory about something, about how he was spiritually blind and then he could spiritually see? That would be a reason why they kicked him out of the synagogue. It's not. What do you see? Is it just a story that warms your heart? Or do you see it as an event that really happened? Because I have to tell you something. If you see it as an event that really happened, if you see it just like the man repeatedly described it, that Jesus Christ took some dirt, he spit on it, he rubbed it, he slapped it in the guy's eye, the guy washed it off, and he could see. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ has power beyond anything we can imagine. So my question to you is, do you believe? This man was absolutely certain. And the lesson here for us is that there is nothing wrong with being certain. Whenever we stand up for what's right, someone will tell you to sit down. Just because someone can grunt and roll their eyes does not mean they're right. If we seek the approval of other people, we will live in that constant seesaw of acceptance and disappointment. Get off the child's toy. Move to what God is calling you to. Accept the peace and the presence of God in your life. Share your story. Tell about how His presence gives you confidence, gives you certainty. Share about who Jesus is and what He's done for you. If somebody makes fun of that, just tell them, see you in 30 years. And then I'll be thinking, why? You thought you had the answers, but you didn't. You thought you knew what to do, but God knew the whole time. You thought you were so smart. Compared to God, you aren't. My challenge to you today is to just simply ask you, do you believe? And belief is just simply making a decision to believe. I'm out of time, but I want to tell you a little story. Totally make-believe, because it's a scene from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. His father had drank some poison and was going to die. So Indiana Jones had to get to the Holy Grail. He had to get the cup of Christ with a sip of water in it, and he had to give it to his father, or his father would die. So he had to go through this series of trials in order to get there. He gets to one place, and there's a huge chasm, a bottomless pit between him and the room where the Holy Grail was. He thought and thought through all the instructions that he had received. And then he remembered, oh, it's a step of faith. And with that, he stood up straight, he closed his eyes, he stuck his foot out, and he stepped in what appeared to be the abyss. But he landed on an invisible trail. And though I'm not much believing in invisible trails, it is a great illustration of what it means to just step out in faith. Because every once in a while, you just have to close your eyes and believe. And believe that God created the world to be in relationship with Him. That relationship was severed. And God so loved the world that He gave His only Son to restore that relationship. It's just that simple. You and I are part of the world. And you and I have the opportunity to come to faith in God through Jesus Christ. But we have to believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be. Let's stand again. Worship team, do you believe that? Do you believe things are going to turn out, or do you believe things are going to be broken? Because what you believe is where your focus is going to lie. And where your focus lies is where you're going to walk. So I just encourage you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Believe. Father, I ask blessings on this congregation.
I pray that you keep them safe in their comings and their goings throughout this week. I pray that you guide them. In Jesus' name, amen.